Blog Talk Radio.
I'd be remiss if I didn't apologize for not realizing that my mic was down. My mic was down for the last 20 minutes. And we'll do our best to make up for that. Welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly. My name is Daryl Clark, and again, we bring you news and information that's designed to empower and encourage and inspire you and hopefully instill you to get involved and make a difference. Tonight, as always, we bring you a hard-hitting program that is truly intended to do all those things that I just mentioned for you and your loved ones. As we go into our 10th year, if you look back on any of our programs for our regular listeners, and if you're new, you can always look at to the archives, or which are listed by date and topic. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/Renford, R-E-N-F-O-R-D, And then just scroll down until you see Daryl Clark's Progressive News Weekly. And one thing you'll notice is the information that we're bringing you is not always popular with the mainstream. And it's not intended to be. It's intended to stir your conscience in a way that maybe is not normally stirred. Because if you're a mainstream media person, then your conscience is truly not being stirred. I would dare say it's being disturbed. It's being disturbed because it's being manipulated. If you happen to be tuning into the program by any chance last week, you would understand when we had our very special guest, Mr. Tony Grant, and he talked about something that was very unpopular. He talked about vaccines. If you missed the program, go back and listen to the archives. And if you caught the program, go back and listen to the archives. Because the more you listen to it, the more you'll become comfortable with the dialogue, the conversation, and the more likely you will be to share. Because that's the purpose of the program. I believe our purpose here on the planet is to determine our purpose. That's our overriding goal. Who are we and why are we here? Oh, you can believe it's not by coincidence. As you breathe that next breath, understand it's with a purpose. And I seek daily what that purpose is. And as I become enlightened and have a belief of any insight to that purpose, I attempt to act on that. And I'm not always successful. But that's my overreaching goal. And I encourage that to be your overreaching goal. To understand who you are. And so if I can just in some way provide you a little bit of enlightenment that you can utilize along the way to help you utilize and understand your purpose, then I've done what I believe is at least part of my purpose. And so today, as we delve into this political climate and the home stretch, I have a very special guest who's been frequenting Progressive News Weekly with me over the years, almost back to the beginning, in my days airing out of New York City. He's a special guest because he doesn't mince words. And with all my guests, he's grounded in truth and fact. He's an educator of sorts. He's a historian. He's a research journalist. And he prides himself on being socially conscious. He doesn't try to sway one way or another. He just brings information with the hope that as you're more knowledgeable and educated, you'll make sound decisions. And where we are right now, in the throes of the home stretch of this political climate, it's ever more critical that we're able to make sound decisions. You see, as it stands right now, from Daryl Clark's perspective, yours truly, we're between a rock and a hard place. And I've said this for 9 years on the air and prior to that. In terms of our politics in America, it's been left wing, right wing, but it's been the same bird. And this political season has exemplified that more, I believe, than ever before in the history of America. When you have two candidates, neither of which, relatively speaking, are considered truly in the best interest of the masses, generally speaking. And you can look at all the political rhetoric that you're seeing on television. Don't be swayed. Don't be swayed. Be very careful in how you utilize the mass media. It's designed to influence and control. I've done the studies, the personal empirical studies. Try it yourself. First of all, on any given half-hour program, look at how many commercials are involved. For our program, one-hour program, look at how many commercials are involved. On some half-hour programs, you're up to almost 50% commercial time. So what is commercial time? It's a time when those who pay for your eyes and ears, that's right, basically, you are a set of eyes and ears and the mind that has been purchased for a price. I tend to mute every commercial, at least the vast majority of them. There's some that might be relatively educational, but the vast majority I just mute and turn away because I know what they're designed to do. Now, with that said, content of those commercials. So as we know now, you may be watching a program for entertainment purposes. I don't knock you for that. I may not enjoy entertainment as you do, as the next person does or does not. But one thing for sure, those commercials, you certainly didn't tune in, more than likely, to that program to see those commercials. So those things are being forced upon you for a price. So that being said, let's take a look at the networks that are selling these commercials. Okay, selling these commercials for a price. ABC, NBC being two of the leading networks, they have business affiliates. General Electric, NBC, ABC, Walt Disney. Don't think for a minute they're going to operate against their best interest. Don't think that General Electric doesn't have business affiliates or Disney. So are they going to air commercials which are not in their best interest? And if they're selling time in the billions and billions of dollars, do you not think those individual corporations that they're selling time to would want them to air programs that are not in their best interest? So let's be very, very, very careful now of our influences, especially for our children. And if you don't believe what I'm saying, look at the proof of the pudding. Look at the violent crimes. Look at the drug abuse. Oh, yeah, they've been there for eons, centuries. But you would think in a progressive society with all the technology that instead of it maintaining the same, and I'm being nice when I say that because I think it's increased, relatively speaking. But even if you want to say it hasn't decreased, that's a negative in itself. So then from my perspective, I have to say, well, whose watch is this happening under? And I'm just speaking of America. This is a worldwide global issue. And it's exposed now because of how much technology we're all having access to. We can see that you've got the seven most financially endowed countries basically running the world. And don't think that they haven't been communicating over the last 100 years. It's just now that we are much more aware of it. So these are critical things that you need to understand as a foundation when you hear some of the information that you hear on programs like mine. Because your goal, I believe, should be to not only consider the information, validate the information, utilize the information, and share the information. Protect yourselves. And it's going to be ever so more important after this election than ever before. So I look at this as a possible plus. The fact that no matter who wins, and I don't think Hillary is a shoo-in, as many are saying, she's up by 6 points in some polls by 12 points. I don't think she's a shoo-in, although I'm a believer that she probably will win. But I just don't believe she's a shoo-in, and I understand all of the media rhetoric about what Donald has done and how he is just a womanizer and now he's just a shrewd businessman, just concerns for himself. I get all of that. I really do. And then you have Hillary, the little pedo, whose husband put more black men in prison than any other president in history. Don't be fooled. I'll give you a little tidbit. And I'm hoping to have someone on my program from this particular network. And this isn't just for my black listeners. This is for my white and Asian and Latino listeners as well. There's a website, BAR, Black Agenda Report, blackagendareport.com. Go there just for another perspective. Just for another perspective. I'm not trying to bash Hillary or Obama just for the sake of just bashing them. I'm not trying to bash them at all. Did anyone hear the lament by the First Lady, Michelle Obama, and how she said she was just so hurt and taken aback by what's happened with the Donald and how he's presented himself? And she was, if you just listen to her face value, she was so passionate about how it really, really hurt her spirit and how it really just totally, totally affected her mentally. My perspective with all the knowledge that I have was, Michelle, where were those heartfelt feelings and where was that speech over the last 7 years when boys were being killed in my hometown? Tamir Rice, just as one example, murdered. I didn't see you get on television and talk about, oh, this is such a terrible thing. I didn't hear you get on television when a man was strangled in New York for a pair of packages of selling cigarettes. I didn't hear you when a man was caught being shot down in South Carolina. I haven't heard you with this lament. Where was the lament when the 10, 20, 30, 50 men have been shot down on public networks? Where's the lament, Michelle? Why now? Is it because Hillary is a friend? So I'm taken aback. I really am. Where's the lament from your husband when this was happening? So when I hear that, it lets me know that you're able to express those kinds of emotions. Because I'd gotten ready to give you a pass to say, you know, you just don't have a heart. But then when you express that, you show that, wait a minute, this is conscious. She's quite aware. It just didn't mean enough. It took something like what's happened now to bring those emotions out, because anything prior to that was not enough. So folks, wake up. And there are those that would say, blasphemy. Oh, Daryl, please express yourself. Call in. I'd like to hear your viewpoints. If you're not willing to share your viewpoints because maybe I'm missing something, then you're doing a disservice to yourself, first of all, not realizing your purpose. You're doing a disservice to everyone else who you may have a message for. So if you have nothing to say about the comment, silence is consent. And I appreciate, with that said, you understanding my perspective. So with that, I'm going to bring on our guest. And I know we started very late, but I thank God that I'm able to make up the time, because we're going to give him the time that he deserves. So with that said, I'm going to bring to the airways Mr. Ronald Crenshaw, a remarkable mind. And we've had some remarkable minds. We've had Dr. Joy DeGruy, Dr. Eddie Taylor, Mr. Kevin Porter, Ms. Bula Pasternak, Mr. Tony Grant. I like to call him affectionately Dr. Dick Gregory. I can go on and on. Dr. Mayer Eisenstein, I'd be remiss. May he rest in peace, one of my mentors. There's been so many. So many remarkable minds. Ernie Larson, may you rest in peace. And so I'm pleased, I'm thrilled. Devya, my gong specialist who taught me a new perspective of meditation. I appreciate you so much. May you rest in peace. But right now, we're going to bring you live Mr. Ron Crenshaw. Ron, I thank you for being patient. We had a little technical situation here. My mic was not operating for about 20 minutes of our program. And so I thank the listeners that hung in there for us. But we will make up for the time. We're going to extend it so that you can truly express what you have to say about this political environment and what's going on in our society. Talk with us, Ron.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me, bringing me on. I appreciate it, and I can understand technical difficulties happen and, you know, there can't be foreseen and things of that sort. So I'm not worried about that. But, I would like to give some information I have, and I also want to say, before I forget, is to be placed in along the lines of the people that you've mentioned. I feel very humbled about that, because I don't consider myself that kind of having that kind of stature. I mean, I am sincere about the way I feel about the country, and because I do love the country, I just have to criticize the bad parts about it. I have to say that for my own survival, I must speak out. That's why I speak as I do. But anyway, I guess you wanted to talk about the elections that are coming up between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. Is that where you want me to go? Or
yeah, I'd like, and not just between them, but if you could just talk about the political climate in America today. What is your opinion? Is this know, same thing? Is this something that's profound that's taken place with these two candidates? I mean, it's something that, as I've never seen before, being bantered that these are two of the most unpopular candidates in terms of a major choice in America that this country's ever had. You know, where have we come to at this point in our society here in America, and how, what kind of impact or reflection does that have on the world and what's happening worldwide? Like in a broad perspective.
Yes, well, my point here, I would speak to the fact that, for one, the industrialization of this country has lifted to a different level. You know, the factories were here at one time, and people, not everybody, but a high percentage of the population had jobs and could find jobs that, you know, paid halfway decent salaries. Now that industry has been going to the east and to the, you know, going to the east and far east and things of that sort, things have gotten tighter here. And I think that that has a lot to do with a Mr. Trump being able to come out and, you know, say the things he says, and people overlook it and think that it's progressive and things of that sort, because they're not familiar with what is the seat of our problem. You know, and the seat of our problem, of course, lies in the in the political economy that we practice of capitalism. And, you know, it's not something that is, what should I say, continuously being beneficial to people, because, first of all, it's predicated on oppression of people. And even having a job, still there's a lot of oppression about trying to maintain your status where you are. So that's what I see here, because, you know, Trump has this saying, you know, he's going to make America great again. Well, if people understood political economy, they would know that that's a lie. By just making the statement is a lie, because America has been great in a sense, and is continuing to be great in a sense. But, you know, making it great again, he's not, you know, talking to everybody. He's talking to a small group of people that thinks of themselves as being deservingly being greater than anyone else, when that's not true. I mean, no one is greater than anyone else. We're all Homo sapiens, so we're all struggling together. And to think in terms of someone has to be greater than others, that's foolhardy, and it goes nowhere positive. So, yeah, Trump is not a progressive person at all. Hillary Clinton is what the fancy word for her is, she's a neoliberal. And, you know, that means trying to engender more profits for the wealthy and keeping the working class poor. That's what it really is. I mean, that's what capitalism is. So, you know, saying, they will all say nice things that they're going to do, but once they get into office, everything changes to where it has to go. And it has to continue to be what it is, and therefore it drags down the working class altogether. So the answer is for people to try to learn what is an alternative. What is an alternative to capitalism? That's what we want to see. And the alternative is trying to work in concert with each other, and not to, you know, have a, try to work for a classless society. That's a fancy word too, because what we really want is people to be thought of as equal And there's no room for people who have to be, you know, outrageously wealthy, I'll say, because that's what trillionaires are, outrageously wealthy. And they control what exists. And they want to keep it that way naturally. So people have to wake up and realize that there's not, because someone doesn't look exactly like you, they have to be lesser. You know, I mean, all of that stuff, the racial stuff, is really negative, I'll say, for lack of a better word, negative. It's negative thinking, because there's only one species of Homo sapien. So therefore, all the phenotypic differences are just there because they are part of our genome. That's it. But intelligence comes through the brain, and all the people with that species has the same intelligence. So that's basically, you know, where I stand, my position.
What alternatives do you think we have, Ron? And again, I can only ask your opinion, of course. I'm not trying to ask you to speak for me or anyone else, and I know I don't have to tell you that, because in the 10 years we've been on the air, that's all you've ever done. But, you know, just for the listener's sake, this is not scripted, Ron, and I have not sat down and said, this is what you're going to say. So I'm not sure what the next word out of Ron's mouth may be. It may be something I totally agree with or not. But what's your opinion, Ron, in terms of what do we do? Should we not vote? What do you think? I mean, I've had listeners say, I am not voting. Be mad at me. For those that say a no vote is a Trump vote. Well, wow. I've had listeners say, what does that mean? Okay, a Trump vote. What's the difference? What's your thought on this?
Well, my thought is the best way out of this is to vote for the Green Party candidate. I mean, from my view, in our society, presidents are not elected; they are selected. See, first of all, and the reason I say that is because this is an empire. Once it has been able to come to the top and be able to have the most advanced weapons and things of that sort, they become an empire, and then, you know, they want to stay an empire. So my idea was the best vote is to vote for the Green Party candidate, which is Jill Stein. That's my out, because, see, I don't see there being a political, notice what I say now, a political difference between Clinton and Trump, because, see, they're both wealthy. Okay, and by our standards, they're both wealthy. Whatever Trump goes too far, he'll be corrected, because, as I say, presidents are selected, not elected. Okay, that probably a lot of people will feel that that's not true, and okay, but that's what is, because you never hear of, let's say, very progressive people being able to get into the fray. I mean, went before, I guess, in the 2000 election. Let's see, the fellow who wrote the book, I can't think of his name. He wrote the book Unsafe at Any Speed, I think was his book, Ralph Nader. And I remember that they wouldn't allow him to come into the debate, because they wanted to keep third parties out of the debate. The Democrat and Republican parties came to that agreement, wrote up the law so that third party couldn't come into the debates. And he was not allowed even to go in to sit and watch the debate at the time. They were going to arrest him if he tried to go in just to sit and listen to the debate. So, you know, we have to realize what's really here and not, you know, think that, oh, he's being, you know, he's got a grudge. No, that's a factual thing that took place. between, you know, Bush was running and Gore. So, I mean, he couldn't even be there to put in his 2 cents. So, you know, that's what we're dealing with. And the sooner people can be awakened to what's here and there, we will change. When people wake up, we can change. Because it's not insurmountable. It's just a matter of consciousness. And people like to keep the same thing going because they feel comfortable in it. That, you know, wealthy, they feel comfortable, so they want to keep it going. And that's why we have the laws we have, because Bush shredded the Bill of Rights with his USA Patriot Act. And Congress has done nothing about that. Obama comes in, and he creates the National Defense Authorization Act. Anybody speaking anywhere in the world that they feel is detrimental to the United States, they can be arrested without a trial, given to no trial, be imprisoned for as long as they see fit. And if you're a citizen, you can be stripped of your citizenship. That's the Enemy Expatriation Act that Obama signed on to. That's not my bias. That's a fact. Okay, so we're dealing with things that are there, and we got to make people conscious of what's going on. That's my plea, and you know, because as I say, I love the country. I like it to improve. That's my life work, is to try to bring people along to try to make the country better. That's what I want. To make our country better. And I don't want to put down any particular people, no, because I don't think it's just people. It's a certain which I see, ethos of our political economy of capitalism. If we can move away from that, we can start to build something that will nourish our people, because we're also locked in this thing about the climate. Now, the climate can change and kill us all. Once that is not dealt with, because, see, they want to do this tar sand stuff and all of that, and all that's killing us from the ground. The water is getting polluted, the drinking water. I mean, you know, it's such a broad thing. It seems like our species is gonna kill ourselves if we don't try to struggle and try to get, you know, friendly with each other and with our common cause. That's where I want to go. I don't want to kill people because they look this way or they look that way. Heavens, no. We need to live together. And that's the way I see going forth. I plead for that. And that's how I see it. You ask me, you know, what can we do? I think we should try to, at all costs, do what you're doing, because you're educating people, too, with your show. And that's very important, because there's many facets that have to be, you know, corrected. Many facets.
True.
So I think you're doing a great job with the people you interview. And I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not trying to put myself in that, but I think that's independent of me, what you're doing. So, I mean, I'm struggling for a better country myself, and I salute you for bringing me on to talk in the way I want to talk, because I'm not, you know, I don't hate people. I just want to see a better society, and the sooner the better. And I feel we have to teach and try to teach in a way that brings us together rather than causes us to break apart.
Well, Ron, I certainly appreciate that lament.
Thank you.
I don't know if you heard what I said about, I'm just going to prelude this with, I am not anti-American. I love the country I'm in. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else, because I have the opportunity to make a difference. There are some places you don't have this opportunity, period.
Right.
They'd be breaking the door down right now.
Yes.
But the fact of the matter is, when I hear Michelle Obama get on, and I believe she was on BET and the major network, CNN, with this particular speech about she was heartbroken with how egregious, how terrible this election has turned out with regard to individuals talking about how they have no respect for women and trying to justify it. And she went on and on and on talking about it's just horrible when we've come to this point. And my question to my listeners are, and I know I've talked about this prior to you speaking, Ron, I just want your input because I don't want to operate in a vacuum. That's why I have high-caliber guests like yourself to be challenged because, as you know, I will challenge you in a heartbeat.
Sure.
And any guest that comes on, and you and I have gone there, and that's because we keep it real. This is not fabricated, folks. This is real. This is grown folks radio.
Right.
So the men and women that come on here and talk with me are expressing themselves, and I don't influence their feelings. I have them on because they have something I believe to say, whether I agree or not. I believe they have something to say, and I'm always ready to learn. So I say that to say, first of all, anyone listening, before I ask this question of Mr. Crenshaw's, if you'd like to join in this dialogue, and we have about 15 more minutes, if you'd like to join in this dialogue and you haven't done so already, dial 347-838-9142 and just press 1 on your dial. So with that said, when I heard that, and I think about the fact that he's claiming to be from Chicago, he being President Obama, and his wife being more so from Chicago, and I think about the hundreds of deaths of our youth, especially black youth, and these are two people that are
are
expressing themselves as black youth. Yeah,
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
When I hear her talk about how she's so disgusted and taken aback, and she had to go to the airways with this.
Right.
Her heart wouldn't let her be silent. How dare you? How dare you, Michelle Obama? How dare you? In the wake of the deaths of the young men and women over the last 8 years, especially the last three of your husband's presidency, and you had that mic all the time, and this was the one thing that stirred your conscience. Nothing else stirred your conscience before this. You've not said a word prior to this of all the egregious atrocities that's been happening.
Right.
And you spoke out on a man who's a trillionaire darn near because he talked about some sex in a locker room. Be ashamed of yourself.
Right.
And I want to hear somebody listening to my archives. I want you to call in and give me your opinion about this. Because if I'm missing something, I certainly want to know it. And, Ron, I want you to talk with me like you have in the past, like a big brother, and straighten me out if I've said something out of line. And anyone else listening, please give me your opinion about that.
No.
What's your thought, Ron?
I'm in total concert with what you've just said. I had that feeling after I heard that speech. I said, well, just what you said to myself. I said, this is fantastic. She can do that around women, which, hey, I appreciate women and I respect women. Hey, I had a mother that nurtured me to where I'm at today. So I respect women altogether. But fine. But, all these cop murders and, you know, people being framed like the Panthers. You never hear what the Panthers contributed to this society with the breakfast program, the free clinic they created. You never hear that. They were defense. And all the cop murders that have been going on in the 100 years of lynching that has gone on in this country. And that's the only thing you can think about is, you know, not that that shouldn't be thought about. No, I don't mean it that way. But I'm saying, just as you're saying, all of the criminality coming from the higher echelon, and nothing is said. The two candidates are saying nothing about the police behavior. Now, I know that we have to have cops in this country. That's a given. But they also should be made to uphold the law and not violate the law. That's important, because it's like not having cops if they can violate the law and do what they want to do. That doesn't make sense. So, no, I'm with you 1,000%. You can, you know, I agree wholeheartedly with what you've just said about that. I said that's the only thing she can say that is allowed to say. She can't say anything against the police. I've noticed that behavior for a long time, a very long time. No president comes up and scolds police. And that's something on purpose. That's something that's done purposely, because that keeps the racism boiling in this country.
Yeah.
Have I?
I wasn't trying to, you know, influence you in any way.
No,
I just
didn't
wanted your
me in any
your
way.
Own feelings.
No, that's the way I feel also. It's not that I disregard, you know, the fact that women should not be put upon in the way they are. Hey, I stand by the fact that women are just as good as me or better. I stand by that. I'm brought into this world by a woman. So there's no reason I'm going to say I should be able to put a woman down. No way. No way whatsoever.
I ditto on that, and I'm glad that you brought that to the fore, because my focus on what she did not say
right
in the past, as opposed
and
to
Obama
what she's saying now.
Said
so,
it. But you see, he
okay.
can't say it because, as I say, he is selected, not elected. And Bush, whoever, you could see that Bush was selected. That vote taken to the Supreme Court should have never been taken to the Supreme Court over Bush. That was the state to decide on how many votes. That wasn't supposed to be taken to the Supreme Court. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I mean, you know, the facts are in front of the people, but, of course, They're not seeing, because the mass media is not going to educate people in that manner. Why? That would be detrimental to where they want to go forth with. So, no.
You're so right.
Yeah, I mean, when they drew up the Constitution, they included the Electoral College. That's people that we don't know who they are. Is going to make the judgment if there's a tie. And, you know, who's going to be those people? The people who have the wealth that determines the way the country goes.
You know, that Electoral College, I think a lot of folks have no clue what that really is.
Right.
Can you share a little
and the
light
Federal
on that
Reserve.
One?
And the Federal Reserve, because
that's
not in the
point.
Constitution.
Can you shed a little light on those two, the Electoral College and the, you know, the aspect of the Federal Reserve? Can you just shed a little light on those two? Because the Electoral College, I think a lot of people think that they're presidented by what we call the popular vote, which is not the case.
No, really not. Because, see, we don't know who counts the votes. And when we say something, when we see a thing like what happened with Bush, that exposes that internal contradiction. That exposes it. The Black Caucus tried to go to the Senate to get one senator to sign on to a recounting of the vote for Gore and Bush. Gore was the vice president and had over the Congress, and he couldn't get one Senate. He couldn't get one senator to sign on to have a recount. Not one senator could Gore get to sign on so that there would be another count for who really won the election. Not one. You know, you have to stand by what the facts are showing. Not my opinion. What are the facts showing? Couldn't get one senator to step forward? That is miraculous. You see what I mean? So, and then a black man comes up in this country and can win an election over a white man? Come on, give me a break. When money, you already know money runs the show. I mean, you can't have a presidential campaign without having a lot of money. And who do you go to get the necessary funds? You go to those who have it. And that answers itself. No one needs to go any further. That answers it itself. So that's my clarity now.
How does that tie in with the electoral college, though?
Well, the Electoral College is people that are chosen. See, they're chosen whenever there's a tie in the vote. Okay, if the vote comes up tied, then a certain group of people, because we don't know who they are, you see, a certain group of people to break the tie. That's what that is. That's the manipulation of the super wealthy having the authority to see to it that the wealth stays on top. Now, the Federal Reserve is more or less the same because 1913, they went to Jekyll Island, the island off South Carolina. All the big bankers went there. Some were European bankers, but mostly American bankers, J.P. Morgan, Rockefeller, these kind of guys, went and drew up the Federal Reserve. And the Federal Reserve, the purpose of making the Federal Reserve was to try to get rid of what we say, the decline in the economy. In other words, to keep out of oppressions, depressions, I'm saying, depression. That was their purpose. But it also brought them into the ownership of the Treasury because they control the Treasury. They define when certain, when we have, interest rate. Yeah, they try to keep the money in, equalize the money coming in and going out and things of that sort. Try to keep from inflation running away with the economy or total collapse. But it didn't do that because from 1913 to 1929, a big collapse happened anyway. And that collapse is what's part of capitalism because it's an unstable economic system because the profits go to the wealth, to the wealthy people, and the workers work for the peanuts that the wealthy people extract. So that's why capitalism is a very unstable economic system, very much. So that shows you where the democracy is right then and there. That you know, it's all phony democracy, because it's only democratic for the bourgeoisie, the super wealthy. That's the fancy name for the super wealthy, the bourgeoisie. That's the term created by Karl Marx and his critique of capitalism. That's where my education comes from in terms of understanding the pitfalls of capitalism. And racism is a arm of capitalism to keep white and black working people divided. So that's where we go. Did I go far enough, or is this something?
Yes, you did. And that was excellent. I love that last part. You said racism is an arm of capitalism.
Right.
Not the opposite.
No. It's an arm of capitalism, because you have to keep the working class divided, else they will realize who they really are and unite. You see? And they could never have 100% employment in a capitalist society, because the pressure for increased wages go up. So they have to be kept atop, a cap has to be kept on wages also. So therefore, you must have an army of unemployed people at all times, so to keep wages down. That's all Karl Marx in Das Kapital. That's why people don't understand what communism is, because it would be a threat to capitalism. So, I mean, like, you know, Sanders is a socialist, but he's not a Marxist. He's a socialist. A socialist is willing to work with capitalism, and when capitalism needs this, they'll go along, and then they try to get reforms to help the poor. You know, they help a little bit, but not totally, because they can't totally do that, because it won't be capitalism. The almighty dollar, the profit system, has to be maintained.
You know, I was reading something about the Electoral College.
Yeah.
And I just read something that ties into what you generally said, is that it's that body that elects the president and vice president. In fact, the definition, and I'll quote this.
Yes.
The United States Electoral College is the body that elects the president and vice president of the United States every 4 years. Citizens of the United States do not directly elect the president or the vice president. Instead, they choose electors who usually pledge to vote for a particular candidate.
Right.
So, folks, if you ever thought that you were actually the one that elects the president or vice president, and that's about as blatant as you may get of an admittance,
right,
that it just ain't that way. You know, we hear about the popular vote, and you mentioned earlier in your dialogue the election of Bush over Gore, and how that was basically that was a fiasco.
Right.
But there we had a scenario where there was questions as to whether or not the candidate with the popular vote had more votes,
right,
than the person who actually won the presidency.
Right.
And I thought at that point there was a possibility it may be looked at, that whole electoral thing, but of course not.
Nope.
But yeah, so doesn't mean because you're the elected president although in many cases, if not just about all, you are the candidate who won the electoral vote has also won the popular vote. But that was an example, and I think that was a sign of things to come. I think that was a sign of where we are right now, in fact.
It is.
Because we had Bush 1, we had Bush 2, we had these dynasties, and it was just an indicator that this is all messed up. It was an indicator that it's all questionable. There was the questionable voting booths. You know, that's when it really came out that maybe this thing is rigged. Maybe it's not an election. Maybe it's a, as you say, selection. Yeah, maybe they are selected here. We got an electoral college? Who came up with that brainstorm?
Fathers. They were all wealthy men. The founding fathers were all very wealthy. They were farmers that didn't have to farm.
Hmm. So what would make us think that they would put forth a system that would benefit the peasants?
Right.
As good as it sounded. Because they were also well-educated men.
Right.
Who knew how to put two words together.
And how.
And how. Well, Ron, it's been a pleasure. And, you know,
thank you.
It's good to laugh because it beats a cry or
right.
a moan, you know,
right.
or a sigh any day. And it's so good to have you on the program periodically from time to time, where especially in the wake of all that we see and understand and know, we can
right.
still find room to laugh.
Yes.
We still find room to laugh. And I just think that's just from being aware, from knowing what is.
Exactly.
And that's important, folks. It's just about understanding where you are. That's, I believe, your life journey. That's my wellness message. Understand your life journey. Why are you here? Are you here to degrade yourself mentally, physically, or spiritually? Are you here to uplift and upgrade and fortify yourself mentally, physically, and spiritually? Well, I think the answer is quite obvious. And with guests such as we've had here this evening with Mr. Ronald Crenshaw, a critical thinker who doesn't hold back, who takes the risk to tell the truth, who's grounded in fact and validation. And if you took some time, take some time to understand and become educated, at the end of the day, you too can just perhaps find a way to get at least a grin or a smile out of the situation. Because you see, it is what it is. You can only do what you can do. And Mr. Crenshaw gave explicit examples of what he would do and intends to do in this given situation. And so you have been empowered this evening, listeners, whether you're live or whether you're in the archives right now. Either way, find your way to take this information and embrace it. Challenge it. Go to the sources.
Right.
Question it. And then at the end of the day, make a decision. Is this something that makes sense or does it not make sense? And then share it accordingly. Because truly, you're here for a reason. There are no coincidences. You have a purpose, not just to yourself, but more importantly, to others, to make a difference in their lives. And so, until the next time, I pray that all be well with you and yours. Remember, we're coming down a crucial home stretch right now in these United States of America, politically. This is the time that you really need to be a critical thinker. This is the time when you don't want to just haphazardly make decisions. Put some thought into each decision that you make, especially as we approach this political arena. And as you become enlightened, encourage others to think as well. In fact, think twice, as many of my carpenter friends tell me. Measure twice, cut once.
All right.
So think twice. Think twice. Ron, we appreciate you so much. If you tuned in late, you'll certainly want to go to the archives and listen to the program. We did start a bit late, and we'll try to edit out that air time in the beginning when the mics were not working, and so that you don't have to cope with the air time. And until next week, when we'll have just a short few days before the election, I want you to be well, tell someone about Progressive News Weekly, and we'll look forward to seeing you next week. For all my homeboys and girls, go Indians World Series, future champs. I know you can do this. Congratulations to my Cavs. I'd be remiss to have the airtime that God blessed me with and not give a plug to my folks. So enjoy, keep smiling, and God bless. Think twice.
Thank you, Mr.
Crenshaw. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Peace.
Peace. I'm not afraid to die.